Welcome to This Week in Lotus. The weekly roundtable discussion of all things social, collaboration, technology and community. Here's your host, Stuart McIntyre.
This Week in Lotus, episode 107, recorded on 8th of November 2012, the one that nearly got away. We meet with Handy Cameron and Sharon Bellamy to discuss Connect 2013, Connections 4.0, and much, much more. Unfortunately, once again, this episode has been delayed due to work pressures. I'm so sorry. The good news, though, is that we have 108 ready to roll, and new IBM champion Alan Hamilton is taking up the reins on the production side in order to try and get these shows published more quickly. Oh, what a star. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can find this and other tech-related podcasts at techpodcast.com. Hello and welcome to This Week in Lotus. I'm Stuart McIntyre and we are back for episode 107 of the supposedly weekly roundtable podcast about all things Lotus and IBM Collaboration Solutions. I'm delighted we have Darren Duke with us. Hi, Darren.
Stuart, I think it's worth educating our users on why there has been such a prolonged absence. And it gets a bit complicated, but if they bear with us, they'll realize why there hasn't been one. My guess is what, 3 months, 4 months,
3 months.
12 years? Okay.
This century?
And yes, the reason is we have a set of rules. We have a set of four concrete This Week in Lotus rules, which Stuart is just finding out about for the first time now. And basically, it's a conjunctive relationship, which means it's an or relationship. So if any one of these things is true, we do a podcast. So number one is we have good guests. And while I'm sure the guests might IQ differently today, that may well be the reason why we are doing one today. We have good guests.
Absolutely.
Two is that I have a tip. That wasn't true until about 5 minutes ago, but now I actually do have a tip. So if any one of these four things is true, we do a podcast. Right now we're batting 1,000 for the Americans. Number three is EXTST is working, which is the external same time server for IBM. I don't know if it's working, right? Yeah. We only do one normally when that's live, and that hasn't been live for about a full 3 months. So that's probably one of the main reasons we haven't done a podcast in a while is because that's the relationship we have with IBM. And then the final one, which is probably the most likely of why we've had that long absence, is we only ever do a podcast if Stuart has done more than four blog posts in a day.
Which I haven't quite managed in the last 2 days, but it is, I think, five or six over 2 days. So that's pretty good going.
The average is getting there.
Did you reckon that makes up for the 2 months without a blog post, though? That's the question.
I think, but people are probably going to now expect like 12 podcasts in a day, and that's not happening.
You've explained it all. It now makes sense. So, yeah, sorry about the long absence without an episode of This Week in Lotus. In fact, I think the last one we recorded, actually, maybe even back in July, and then it took me a month or so to publish it with the Olympics and stuff going on. So this is an effort to try and get back to somewhat of a schedule. So thank you, listeners, for being loyal and downloading this one, and hopefully we'll get back to something approaching normality. We've missed you, Darren. I've had several tweets from people saying we're missing Darren's comments and remarks and discussion.
I think that's only non-IBM employees.
I think you might be right. Well, it's great to be back on again. We have a couple of guests to join us today. We were supposed to also have Mitch Cohen, but I believe he succumbed to yet another power cut in New Jersey, which goes with the territory, I think, for the last couple of weeks. So, Mitch, we're thinking about you and your family there, and I know there's been some difficult times.
Love God, stop burying the freaking power lines.
Yeah, wouldn't that make sense? Although I did see, actually, I tweeted some photos today of before and after the storm, and just absolutely amazing devastation, particularly wherever there were boats involved. It just seemed to be being blown, half a kilometre down the river. So I'll make sure I link to that in the show notes. I'm sure most people will have seen some of the stuff that's gone on in New York. Anyway, Mitch, sorry to miss you today. But we do have Hanley Cameron with us. Hi there, Hanley.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. We're in Atlanta with Darren, so we stayed fairly dry. But our company's headquarters actually a block off of Times Square, and our data center was on Long Island, so we got hit pretty hard by the same thing that we had to shut everything down for basically the whole week.
Goodness me. And you've moved companies, I think, since the last time we spoke to you, is that right?
Yeah, so since the last time I was on, I moved to a company called Prolifics. It's one of the large IBM partners, and I'm helping run their mobile and social solution practice.
Awesome. Okay, and what kind of products are you working with these days?
I've been doing a lot of work with the new IBM Worklight product, which is around building mobile apps for, you know, Android, iOS, and other devices, and then figuring out, you know, helping even the IBMers understand how does that work with all the ICE tools like connections and portals and such.
Fantastic. And it's great to have you back on. Go on, Dan.
And when I first heard about Worklight, I actually thought it was an application to make your mobile phone a flashlight. I was very disappointed.
Not sure that's quite in IBM's territory. It's not the kind of thing they tend to do. Maybe they'd be more profitable that way. Who knows? And so, yeah, Hanley, you've been on This Week in Lotus back in episode one. So it's kind of like having one of the originals back on again. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And we're also going to be joined by our good friend Sharon Bellamy as well. She's out and about right now, but she'll be coming back in about 10 minutes or so. So we'll kind of merge her into the conversation as and when she comes back online. So it's going to be one of those kind of episodes. But we're going to kick off with kind of what's been going on since the last time we were here. You know, so let's say it's August that we were last doing a twill. So maybe go around the table. Darren, what are your kind of highlights from the last few months? Anything you'd particularly pick out as being notable and we should talk about?
But I can, if it's not under NDA, this is a hard conversation. I would say, I think that the Kinect bandwagon is starting to roll. I would still say that there's a lot of people who I deal with that don't realize that Kinect is now Lotosphere, is now Kinect. So I think they've still got a bit of a message problem going on, but I think, you know, it looks like a lot of people are registering, which is good. Around that, you know, there was the kerfuffle on Planet Lotus with Volker getting bad and then Volker coming back. Yeah. It's been a teacup, which we all like. I think that the outcome was the right decision, myself, on that.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that too. I think, yeah, it's always an interesting conversation over what makes good coverage of products. Is it purely positive kind of coverage, or is it something of reality in terms of positive and negative? And Volker clearly puts a few people's backs up, but I think he does do a good honest job of kind of keeping IBM to the things they commit to and that kind of thing. So I think most people see him as not necessarily a positive force in the community, but at least somebody who offers a different voice and is worth listening to. So yeah, I tend to agree, it's good to have him back. How about you, Hanley? Anything you'd pick out?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, just as you were saying, that some of these are still coming out, you know, as to the point you just made. I think especially the ICS side of IBM really tries to keep things kind of secret so they make these big announcements. You don't see that as much from the other brands. They tend to make their product announcements before their, before things come out and aren't as protective of names and other things that may be coming. But they also aren't, I think, as in such competition with open market consumer vendors. But you know, from what I've seen, I think there's really good movement from IBM and really good integration as they bring together the different products, whether it's Notes and Connection or Worklight Portal, and all of those are really starting to work together in a much easier ways than we used to have.
Yeah, and to follow on with that, I think it feels like we're on a little bit of a kind of upslope really at the moment in terms of us building towards, you know, Connect obviously in January, but also to the release of a number of products that kind of fit within the whole Project Vulcan vision that was outlined. You know, we've had Connections 4 now, with Connections Mail, that's available, but you know, we're going to get the next version of Notes and Domino, next version of iNotes, same time's going to probably have a new version in the next, you know, 3 to 6 months or so that will fit in with that look and feel as well. So it feels like we're kind of coming to fruition some of the things that we've been talking about for a very long time.
It does, and there's some big announcements coming up. We've got the one on the 14th of November, which is Ed Brill and Scott Souder. You know, I have visions of them standing up on stage and opening a gold envelope and saying, "And we are releasing Notes 8.6 or something like that." And if they want someone to model behind them and hold the vase, I'll do that.
And I think it's November the 13th, isn't it, Dan? Just to
clarify.
Yeah, it's the 13th.
Certainly next week. Ed's blogged about it, and we've got a link in the show notes as well. And that's going to be an interesting interesting webcast because it's certainly been very hyped by Ed and by a number of others within IBM. It's very clear that it's a very notable webcast that they want a lot of people to listen into. And I think, is it taking the form of the community webcast for this month as well?
I believe it is.
Okay, so make sure you get along to that. I think that's one definitely not to be missed. I'm sure there's going to be news of the next version of Notes and Domino and iNotes and so on, and possibly some surprising news as well. Make sure you're on that one. It's definitely one to be part of. And the other thing I think I'd pick out from the last few months is Collaboration Today, which is a new website from the folks at OpenNTF and Nicholas Heidloff and Bruce Pear and a number of other folks that are kind of are in that world. And they put together kind of a more controlled form of Planet Lotus, if you like. And it's an aggregation site that is moderated by a team behind it. And so they put forward links that should be included in that. And that's certainly an interesting kind of different tack. It filters out a lot of the things I think that make maybe this community social in terms of the chit chat and things that go on, but it does make it a very clean site to point customers at, maybe that Planet Lotus sometimes hasn't been in the past.
Yeah, I think I used the phrase unicorns and rainbows about a couple of weeks ago. I think it is an intriguing idea. I find myself forgetting to go there, though. I think that's what Planet Lotus allows me to do, is to go somewhere and kind of drink the fire hose and only drink what I want. And I think Collaboration Today, I've thought about this in a while. How does it get the word out there without the exception of just the people who read Planet Lotus? And I think difficult conversation, unless IBM do something themselves. We've often asked about put something on the home screen of Notes, whatever, but I don't recall seeing anything like that mentioned, or I haven't heard anything about that.
And I've been part of some discussions, I think in one of the Skype communities that we're part of, Darren, about the RSS reader in Notes, and it feels like that feature's been a little bit left behind over the last year or couple of years, and certainly I don't think any of the feeds on there have been updated in a while. Things like, is it right that Mary Beth's blog is still on there, I think? So it would be great to see that being updated. Maybe Collaboration Today is one of those sites that they can make sure is part of the Notes client as well.
Well, I think on my end, I've actually found myself not going to Planet Lotus as much, just partly because I've just been very busy lately. So some of the sort of curated content coming from Collaboration Today, I'm not going there either as a website. I'm kind of seeing their Twitter site. I don't follow Planet Lotus Twitter just because there tends to be a lot more noise in that feed, and there's enough noise on Twitter already. But as Darren said, I think Planet Lotus's format actually works a lot better when you're like, okay, I haven't been able to check in a couple of days. Let me go pull it up and kind of look through what's been happening, and you can, I think, get a better feel. Whereas Collaboration Day, it just has different sorts and stuff like that. So sometimes I don't really get that feel, but I'm catching up on things so much.
But again, the other thing about Collaboration Day is it's a very beautifully written X Pages app. I think, like Stuart said, Nicholas, Per, Bruce Elgar, and Jesse Gallagher all helped build, and probably Sadar as well. If I missed anyone, I apologize. But it's beautiful, and it's open source now. I think it's available on OpenNTF, right?
It is. You can download it. Absolutely. Yeah.
So maybe we should start collaboration yesterday and collaboration tomorrow.
Maybe so. But it's great effort by that team, and one hopes it will take off in some form or another and find its place within the community. I'm sure it will. So, Darren, you've already mentioned that Connect 2013 is kind of front and center right now. What used to be Lotusphere is now Connect, including Lotusphere content as well. It's scheduled for middle of January kind of time frame, as we're used to, and the call for abstracts has just closed. I think it closed yesterday. So, first of all, who's submitted an abstract?
I'm guilty. I'm an attention-seeking whore. Shoot me now.
I'm sure you promised you wouldn't this year.
Oh, I did. I don't know what I was thinking. 2 years ago, which was the last time I presented, I said I was going to take a year off and then do it again. Yeah. And then, last year, because I had no presentations to do, it was actually quite enjoyable. And I was like, I'm not going to do any. And then they extended it, and usually I'm pretty good. But then I just kind of it started niggling. I was like, yeah, you know what? It's probably time to update my presentation for myself anyway, the policies one, which I usually do. Yeah. So I have no idea if I'm going to be accepted, but if I do, that's what I'll be doing. And it changes its name. I said, Domino Policies Air Utility Belt, let it keep your pants up, or something like that.
Great title.
Now, did you follow your own advice and put that in show and tell or not?
I did, yes. So it's kind of funny because what I'm a bit afraid of is obviously I'm afraid of naked tweeting the live OGS, not from the OGS itself, but from my hotel room, just in case anyone's scared of that. And historically, my session has always been immediately after the OGS, so I have a feeling that maybe my guilt got better with me, and now I may not be able to naked tweet the OGS. So. I'm a bit afraid of that because I really want to do that. It's an amazing way to get a lot of followers very quickly. Use the word naked in a lot of tweets. It's also a way to get rid of a lot of IBM followers very quick as well.
And Hanley, have you submitted?
Yeah, I submitted two. I also did not follow Darren's advice and put one of them in show and tell. And I made it worse because that one, if accepted, is on connecting work like to connections, so taking advantage of like the open social API and, you know, weaving that into your own mobile app, you know, with ideas of you know, there's great apps from IBM, but maybe there's things that you want to do like integrate with, you know, activities or something like that with your own mobile app, you know, doing your own business stuff. So I put that in, but one of the complicating factors is that there's a new version of WorkLite coming out in the next couple of weeks. So what will probably happen is they'll accept it and I'll, you know, everything I was planning on doing will change and I'll have to rewrite all the technology and get all the slides in all at once.
That is honestly a big problem. And even mine, my show and tell is this basically the same bones that it was when I started. It just keeps adding on. But even when they change something inside of a product, it's an awful lot of work to change the screenshots, let alone if they come up with a whole new version. And you're right, you said that was a show and tell.
Right, right. So you've got to show it, you know, and that's an area where I think you really can spend time in a show and tell to show it. But it's I've heard from you guys in the past how much that's done. And
It is a lot of work. It struck me, but that should make me be a whole Lotus for your long show and tell.
Right.
Well, just come to room 417. That's where Handley will be continually doing his show and tell.
Well, I do like Mitch did a couple of years ago on his, I think he did one on installing connections or something that was over 400 slides long. And you know, you're doing approximately two or three slides a minute at that pace or something crazy.
Yeah, I mean, him and Chris Wisner, right?
Yeah.
And yeah.
And Rob Wunderlich and I followed up a couple of years later and did the same thing again.
I think anyone that does a show and tell is a very brave individual if you are doing a blank slate one. If you've got one like I have, and I'll be first to admit, I'm a lazy, lazy, lazy person. Mine's still going to be a fair amount of work to update because we've had a couple of releases of notes. But anyone that does a blank canvas show and tell is a very brave person that deserves just a round of applause no matter how good or bad the presentation is.
Yeah, indeed. So shall I own up?
How many? 47?
No, 47. Less than 10. no, it's just a few. not too many this year.
We had the Stuart McIntyre track. Did I miss that?
That's not even one per track. Come on.
No, I have submitted one show and tell, which I promised myself I would never ever do again. But we're not doing a install connections one. Instead, just focusing on one particular area of connections, which is around the profiles piece. So we'll see if that gets selected. Of course, none of us can count our chickens in the area. But I think that's something that we've covered enough times in the past to just update for version 4. So that might be interesting. And Sharon and I've got a couple of others in there as well. So we'll see what comes of it. It'll be interesting to see how many sessions there are in the kind of Lotusphere style tracks. Because looking at the tracks, there's now 11 tracks, including the show and tells and jump starts and so on. So there's probably more tracks than there used to be, and therefore I'm guessing there will be less sessions in each. But I don't know how that's going to work out.
Sharon's here.
Okay, let's bring Sharon in. Hey, Sharon, you joined us. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Awesome. Now, you missed out on the start of the show, so I didn't get to ask you, who do you work for?
I work for you, Stuart. I work for Collaboration Mantis now, and you're my boss.
Indeed.
And you better get an expensive part for a headset.
Don't worry, Darren, it's coming.
For those that are listening, we've just realised she didn't have a proper headset, so we've broken the cardinal rule of This Week in Lotus. Shocking.
Actually, you can just give one of your 25 to it.
Yes, sure. I'm dialed in on a phone, people.
I'm sure I can give you my snowball mic, and at least I won't get stopped in any more airports. It's got to be a positive thing. So we were just discussing Connect 2013 and sessions and all that kind of thing. So, I mean, there's a lot more tracks. And so, Sharon, maybe you can kind of move us on to how do you feel about the whole kind of change in name of the conference? And, you know, do you think there's going to be a change of emphasis and change of atmosphere at the conference?
I'd like to think no, but I think yes, if that makes sense. Now, bearing in mind that I've only been for the last two, the first one was very different to the second one in many ways. Not through the social side of it, because I think no matter what the conference is called and what tracks there are, the community is still going to do their thing. But there was a definite emphasis more or less on the Notes Domino development side of things and more onto the social businessy side of things, which is a blessing and a curse, I think. Good in one way, but bad in the other. I think there still needs to be a balance on dev and admin compared to businessy stuff, if that makes sense.
And Hanley, would you echo that? What was your feeling on last year's content compared to previously?
Yeah, I think it turned out really well last year. There was a lot of worry going into it with some of the, you know, we've had a little bit of that effect this year with the sort of delayed planning from the IBM side and getting things out. But I think it really did come together well. The messages all fit together. I think it was a little bit disjointed with the Connect subconference last year. Kind of like, hey, we're going to do business use cases over here. And it was kind of separated. I think when they mix those together better and the way they laid out the tracks this year is it makes a little more coherent sense in terms of how they would fit together.
I kind of feel that way as well. I think, you know, the fact that all the tracks are listed on the same page, whilst there's some wording around Lotusphere still being very technical, I mean, they talk about the industry gold standard and built for IT professionals and so on. I do get the impression they are trying to make it one conference, albeit with the name change. I also think what goes in their favour is some of the branding has changed stayed very similar to previous years. So the Connect kind of, you know, fancy icons and stuff, it's very much as it was last year. So I think there is a sense of continuity, even though we've lost the black and yellow along the way.
And I agree with Sharon. I think last year was, I wouldn't say very different, but I'd say it was noticeably different between the year before. And I'm not sure whether that was a lack of admin sessions or whether it was just the sheer number of X-Pages sessions. And the latter, I think, is a lot better than the former, if that was the case. I'm hoping this year that they're going to bring some of the admin sessions back, and it might well be that people like me didn't even submit. So, you know, and I think that might be a problem as well with them renaming the conference and it being a bit more pushy at the business side, is I think there may be a side effect of reticence of technical people to submit sessions because they may not be accepted. But the good news is Stuart's kind of offset all of them by his 44 abstracts. but getting back to the feel, I echo Sharon as well. I don't think the social aspect's going to change at all. I think it's going to be really good, right? It's basically a party for people who have known each other for 10 years, and that's fun. It always is. And again, we echo this over and over again. If you are new or if you are shy, come up and talk to one of us and you're instantly in. It's basically, that's the kind of arena we're in. Don't go there. Don't pay a lot of money and sit in your hotel room every night, for God's sake.
If you're sitting in your hotel room, you're doing the wrong thing. I was so, so welcome the first year that I went. And now I get to see my best friends at lots of other lugs throughout the world, and we talk on Twitter every day, and we're on Skype, and if I have a technical problem, I can just tweet it and someone will know the answer. And if I wasn't brave enough to talk to you guys, I wouldn't be able to do that.
Right, and it only takes 1 minute of bravery. You don't have to be brave the entire time.
No, just 1 minute of bravery is enough.
All you gotta do is introduce yourself to one of us, and then we'll drag you into, you know, introduce you to everybody else, and suddenly you know everybody.
And if you're still very shy, just walk around with a blow-up animal.
Yes, is that going to happen again this year, Darren, with your kangaroo?
I am taking Rufy. And I have a T-shirt. I also have a T-shirt that Greg Eldred sent me, but no one's seen yet, which is kind of cruel.
Oh, so many things to look forward to, Darren. And talking of social, where do we think the party will be this year? Any ideas?
Legoland. Which I think is new, isn't it? Just thought.
Oh, it is. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, I like Sharon's idea there. Because it's always a new place.
When we opened the Harry Potter world at the Island of Adventure, we had it there, didn't we?
Yeah, the only problem with that, we took our family to Legoland at spring break last year, and it's a good drive away from you know, it's probably over a 30-minute drive away, so that might be a little bit hard to do to get there. And obviously, it's pretty little kid-oriented. But, you know, the rotation kind of goes, you know, MGM, Universal, SeaWorld, back to MGM.
I don't think they'll be going back to SeaWorld in the near future.
Yeah, they have to give a couple of years apart to forget about us, right?
Yeah. Have the killer whales recovered you?
Yeah, and as long as they don't align it with the closing session again like they did last year. What's your feel about attendance? And anybody got a steer on whether it'll be up or down on previous years?
I think it's going to be up a little bit. Go ahead.
They're going to say that basically this time last year at the same time they're up. I have a feeling they might be down a bit. Just because they should have renamed it at the closing general session and made the closing general session memorable beyond just me.
And cookies.
And cookies, yes. They had a chance to get the word out right at the end. And why they didn't take that and waited till half a year through and then decided to change the name, it's kind of beyond me. But I think that single thing may end up costing quite a few registrations because people still don't know.
Well, I think you have the same effect you had last year by delaying the registration opening and delaying the announcement of when the tracks are and getting, you know, finding out what the speakers are. I mean, they're not going to announce that till December. They're probably not going to have it public till later in December. Now, the conference is 2 weeks later this year, but you have a lot of people who are in the fall are trying to make their budgets, and they really need to have that agenda to go prove to their bosses that, hey, we should spend this money. Look at all this awesome stuff I'm going to learn. And right now, all they have is the track titles and descriptions, and they're not going to get any of the details until it's almost too late to get in on their budget. And, you know, if you wait too late, suddenly they can't even book flights because you're within 3 weeks or whatever, and they've already got other meetings planned, right?
Amen.
I think that's a great shame because I think it's got the potential to be an awesome conference this year. I think, you know, we've already mentioned this this announcement that Ed and company are going to make next week. I think some of the stuff that's going to be announced is going to be massive, you know, in terms of where existing Notes and Domino customers are going over the next year and so on. And I think there's some great content, some new releases coming, which always drives up attendance because people are wanting to learn about what's in them and how they're going to roll them out and everything. I think Connections is growing as a product. I think it's becoming a platform. I think we're seeing more and more ISVs building for Connections now. And so I think there's a lot in its favour this year. And I think it's a shame if perhaps some of the organisation has kind of let it down in terms of some of that information not being available in a timely enough way.
Especially when other IBM conferences like Pulse and Impact do their things way, way in advance. I mean, you know, there's no excuse for the people within IBM not to talk to each other. They've got Connections platform which they could discuss how they organise their conferences, so I'm sure if they just need to be put in a room and smacked a bit so they're all singing off the same hymn sheet.
And if not Lola is what's affecting us, move Lola.
Yeah. Completely agree. Make it earlier in the year, straight after the school holidays maybe, in sort of early September or something.
Which school holidays? Because you guys get so many.
If only. And I know ours are a bit later than the US ones, but I'm sure there's a place in the year where they can have it where it's not going to impact Connect in a bad way. So Sharon, you've joined us. We've had some pretty big announcements in the last couple of months in the sphere that we work in, which is Connections 4. So any thoughts in terms of how you've seen Connections 4 and how the customers that you work with have seen it? Do you think it's been a positive release?
Definitely. Other than, I'm not even going to go into CR1, which we seem to, lots of different people have having issues over, but 4 as it is was one of the simplest upgrades so far. The install hasn't changed that much. There's obviously the added piece of the Cognos for metrics, but you don't have to deploy that. You can deploy that at a later date. So if you just want to upgrade your existing 301 system, it doesn't take long at all. A few hours and you're up to 4. It looks nicer. The One UI is sexy compared to the other one. Connections Mail was very simple to deploy, and it's just a massive, massive improvement from what we had before.
And Hanley, would you concur with that? Have you had much involvement with Connections 4 so far?
Yeah, we've actually seen a pretty good uptake from it. We had, you know, some customers who were kind of poking at Connections to decide where they wanted to go to it, and with 4 coming out, they were like, all right, let's do it. It's, you know, it really helps a lot on the user adoption with things like Connections Mail and the bringing more into the activity stream. People can start to see how do our users actually use this as the place they go to first in the morning, and actually, you know, as Alan Leposky says, get work done instead of just something they check every now and then, and then they forget to go see that updated file, right?
But the activity stream is the other thing. I mean, even going into the prospective customers, once you show them the activity stream and say, oh, you can get your developers to just write a plug into the API and you can display anything you like in the activity stream, get them really, really excited. And the fact that it's also a lot easier to integrate with things like same time as well. I mean, I'm working on a project at the moment which we're integrating a lot of the ICS stack together. Frame-to-time integration was really, really straightforward. It was much, much easier in 4 than it ever has been before.
I can see many organizations now scrambling to integrate into the activity stream to write, work harder, work faster. What are you doing? Get off the phone.
And going back to your point, Sharon, about the ease of upgrade, I was involved in a couple in the first sort of week or so. It was available. You know, been working with a large company in the States for a number of months beforehand, kind of getting ready for Connections 4, and they were pretty much the first large corporate to upgrade from 3 to 4, and it went incredibly smoothly. I think any customizations you've made, you need to revisit and you know, look at again in the context of some of the things that have changed in version 4. But if you have a relatively vanilla Connections 3 environment, it really is a very straightforward upgrade. I think IBM deserves some kudos in terms of how they built that and how they managed it. So I see it as a tremendously positive release, no doubt. I think the other thing is, in the last few weeks, we've had a number of kind of follow-on releases. One is the new mobile clients for iOS and Android, and in fact, there's a new one for BlackBerry just come out in the last week or so. If you're not running the latest versions of those apps, you really should be, particularly the iPad one. I think it's just brilliant. They've done a really good job. The other thing is there's more ISVs building now for Connections 4. So, for example, Bunchbull have got a new product out. There's another gamification one whose name I've just forgotten, Tembo Social, that's the one, which plugs in and does kind of employee awards and that kind of thing within communities. And then there was just one just this week that Luis Benitez mentioned, which is VC, which is another kind of same time type product. It does web conferencing and video conferencing, and that plugs in a really neat way into Connections 4 as well. So it does appear that we're beginning to see a bit of a platform play now in terms of ISVs wanting to develop for Connections, because as many of the analysts are saying, it's probably the number one social platform out there.
Noticed also that talking to customers, particularly the ones we've been speaking to recently, that they are planning on making Connections their internet. They're ditching their traditional internet with their traditional type of content and making it a lot more dynamic and allowing their employees to actually create the content that they want, rather than having a bunch of web developers to upload things that other people have given them. So that's one thing that I've really noticed over the last couple of months, is how particularly the organisations we work with are thinking of making Connections their one place to go at the beginning, and then linking everything else off of it. And because they're IBM are making integration with other products, including non-IBM products, a lot simpler, hopefully it will take off as an intranet-style platform where, you know, your users will manage your content rather than you have to employ a team of people to do it.
But where does that play with Portal, because isn't that what kind of Portal is for?
Portal? Don't get me started on Portal. I like WebSphere Portal. I like WebSphere Portal if you're a very, very large enterprise that requires something as big and as formal and as structured as it, but for your bog standard normal human beings that work in a small to medium sized business, port is way too heavy to do what you need, and an intranet isn't man enough, so connection fills the gap.
Sharon, I'm going to record that last soundbite and play it back to you again and again. Yeah. You used to be such a fan of Portal. It's interesting that, yeah, there's a little bit of realism there. I think that's right. I think there's for certainly the smaller customers and maybe the less formal ones. Definitely Portal just isn't a good fit. And I think Connections is taking on more of that. There's also a really nice solution from, I think it's from Time to App, but it may be another business partner in Europe that has now kind of built a content management system that sits kind of on the homepage. Of Connections, which is a nice idea. So basically bring in a little bit more formal content management, but in the Connections application as well. The other announcement this week was around the Notes plugins for Connections 4 as well. So if you're running Notes client and you have Connections 3 or 4 in the back end, there's some new plugins, which the nice thing is IBM has released those as one bundle. So it's just one product you have to download from the Lotus catalog on Greenhouse, and it installs all of the files, status updates, activities, and everything else that goes into the Notes client. So get hold of that if you haven't already. Sharon, something else that you're involved in is Social Connections, which I think is coming up for its fourth event sometime soon. So do you want to tell us about that?
It is. Our fourth Connections User Group event is going to be held on the 30th of November in the IBM Forum at Amsterdam. IBM have very kindly loaned us their facilities for the day. We have an absolutely jam-packed, brimming agenda with three tracks this time of management, admin and dev, and customer case studies. Our keynote speaker is Mr. Christopher Crummy, who's kindly agreed to come and talk to us for the day. And it's going to be busy, very busy. We've got some awesome speakers, including Matt Newman, who's coming over from the States, and Adam Brown, so which will be nice. We've got Paul and Gav talking about some admin things. We've also got lots and lots of development, including Mikhail, who will be talking about developing widgets. So if you're interested in any kind of thing with Connections, customers, management, admin and dev, you've got to come. I've said so.
And Matt Newman and Adam Brown are coming from Australia.
Yes. And we've also got Greg, who's coming from Russia, from Mont, who's going to be talking with me about the lovely, lovely Cognos piece into Connections.
Yeah, and so that event is on 30th November, and there are just 7 spaces remaining. So if you haven't registered yet and you hear this podcast and you're interested, go have a look at socialconnections.info and register ASAP, because, as I say, there's very few spaces left, and you know the team are limited by the amount of space that is available in that location. So get registered.
And let me just stop you there, because you're being a bit modest here, Stuart. The fact that this is now a 180-seat event and it's only the fourth event is nothing short of phenomenal of what you've done. Because behind the scenes, it's Stuart kind of, this is Stuart's baby, even though he won't say that out loud.
Thank you, Darren. It was my baby. I started it. I have to say, on this one, there are other people that may have definitely taken the lead. In fact,
I would agree. Femke, Sharon, right? But again, to go from zero to 180 in 4 6-month jumps is nothing short of phenomenal, and I think you deserve way more praise than you give yourself.
Considering it was an idea that Stuart and I had sitting in the university cafe when I was working at the uni over a coffee one day, I think we've done kind of okay, haven't we?
So, yeah, we're 180 this time, and I think we probably could get more there if we have more space. The next one is going to be in the USA, probably in New York, probably middle kind of time next year. So if anybody's interested in going to a Connections event in the US, that kind of time frame, would like to be involved, has some idea on location, then we would love to hear from you guys. Because it's... Sharon will know, I sent off to a few conference venues in New York, in Manhattan, and asked for prices, and I have to say, I fell off my chair when they came back.
And now it's not in New York, right?
We haven't quite made that decision, but put it this way, we need to find a friendly conference venue that might just adjust their prices by maybe a factor of 10 for us to be able to go there. So anyway, if anybody has any ideas, perhaps if they are part of an organization in the New York area, that has some kind of space we could use for a conference, please do let us know, because we'd love to speak to you guys.
Well, and as I mentioned,
go ahead.
I was going to say, our headquarters is right there in the middle of New York. Our office is pretty small in terms of what's there, it's a little conference room and stuff like that. But our marketing people may well know of some good facilities around. I'll find out from them if they might be able to help out.
Awesome, Hanley. That would be much appreciated. And anybody else who can and feed in there as well, just let us know via Twitter. Either Sharon or I would be great. Yeah.
Minneapolis.
Even though we don't know where it's going to be yet.
Yes, indeed. So looking at some other news, it sounds like there's a story that's just broken while we've been doing this podcast, which there's a new version of the Social Business Toolkit been announced.
Yes, I saw that on Twitter, and there's a few blog posts, I think, already up on it. And it looks like just, continued integration, more integration with HTML5 and JavaScript and Java, which is great news, because that'll actually help tie into, as I mentioned, my abstract on that probably has more technology I have to adjust if I get into to connect, because that'll give us even more ways to connect with the, with WorkLite, which is all HTML5 and JavaScript based, also into all the connections in other areas.
Sounds good. That was really good. And there's also another event going on this afternoon, I think, Hanley. You're involved, well, this afternoon in terms of my time, but I think the morning for you.
Six weeks ago.
So
we're not going to get this podcast out on time.
Me never.
Tell us about it, Hanley, anyway.
So today, in actually just 2 hours from now, it's driven by the mid-market team at IBM, but we're doing what we're calling the Social Business Future Cast. And I'm being joined by Ed Brill and Luis Suarez and a couple of analyst consultants, Laurie McCabe and Janine Meister, who've written books on it. And we're talking about sort of looking forward into the future. They call it Futurecast 2020. So thinking about, in 5 to 8 years, what is going to happen to companies, especially as we mentioned in the in the mid-market, these smaller companies, as Sharon mentioned, things like Portal and stuff have been large company-faced solutions. But how does this start to affect those smaller companies? And they're really starting to see that they have to get into, into the social, and that's becoming a competitive issue. So those are kind of the things we're talking about is where is that going? And it will be live on YouTube. So we'll put a link. There'll be a recording. I'm sure by the time people hear this, it'll already be over, but they can go back and see the replay.
Fantastic. Thank you, Hanley. And I hope that goes well. I'm sure it will. So let's move on to our tips. As ever, we finish this podcast by going around the table and just asking people for a product or service or website or feature that they use regularly that they can recommend to the audience. So, Darren, kick us off.
I am paranoid. I walk around with aluminum foil or aluminium foil, depending where you live, over my head, just so they can't read my thoughts. But I also have a lot of laptops, and on all of them laptops, I have a lot of data that is not necessarily mine. So I use a product called TrueCrypt, which is open source and free to actually encrypt the entire hard drive. I've been using it for a long time. I'm surprised I never made it, but it just occurred to me today when I was booting my computer when the TrueCrypt asked me to put password in. So it's very good. I mean, AES 250-bit encryption of the drive. You can pay a lot of money for a lot of high-end PGP stuff that'll do whole disk encryption. TrueCrypt is free. And works with Windows or Mac as well.
Ooh. Okay, we'll take a look.
I'm sure happy then.
Thank you, Darren. And Hanley, do you have a tip?
I do. In previous podcasts, we've heard some grumbling from you on the before we got it started on, does everybody have headphones and proper microphones and all that? And between this this feature cast coming up this afternoon and knowing that I might be contributing here and other places, I went out and actually found a proper microphone. And what I got was an Audio-Technica. It's a AT2005 USB dynamic microphone. So it's a nice standard-looking microphone, small. So you can actually pack it in a little bag that comes with it. I got a pop filter. We'll put those in the show notes. But the total package is only $80. So it was even cheaper than some of the Blue microphones. I've heard that you've had issues with airport security with some of the shapes that the snowballs and such come in. So this one will look like a normal device as you go through and maybe help keep your clothes on.
Excellent, Hanley. You do sound good too. So well recommended from my point of view. And Sharon, do you have a tip?
I have three. and a screaming baby in the background. I have three. First is the Social Connections News Group site. So if you're interested, of course, in attending this conference or seeing the videos of any of our previous conferences or downloading any of the presentations, take a trip over there. The URLs for these will be in the show notes, because otherwise I'll try and say them and fail hideously. The second one is the Greenhouse Connections User Community, where Simon Bourne does an absolutely smashing job of collecting feedback about what we'd like to see in the next version of Connections and any, I hate to say, bugs, features that we find. It all gets fed back to the product management team, who do endeavour their best to fix it and make the product even better for us. And also Gavin Paul's Connections 101. So if you're a Domino developer, yellow person, that wants to learn more about Connections and social and how you can integrate it with your other ICS products, if you take a whirl over there, they're creating modules on exactly how to install it from scratch, assuming that you know nothing about Connections or WebSphere. So that is definitely worth it. And even I learn something from that every time I go and look at it, and I've been doing WebSphere for years. So I have three tips to make up for the lost time of us not having a podcast for a long time.
Thank you, Sharon. All good tips, and all the links are in the show notes, so make sure you take a look at those. And I have a tip and a request. So I'll do the tip first, which is one that I am surprised I've never found in the past. I only came across it this week, which is an iOS app. It's for iPhone, iPod, iPad, but it's probably best on the iPad, called Discover People. And it's missing its E, so it's D-I-S-C-O-V-R People. And what it is it's basically a social discovery tool. So you put in name of a Twitter handle, so social status, for example, and that comes up then with Sharon and six of her friends, followers around her, and then you can then basically double click on one of them and it will then show you their profile. So it'll tell you whether you're following them, and it'll tell you who they are and their last few tweets and stuff. And then if you just click on them once, it then opens out maybe six of their friends, and you click again, open six more friends. And so it's a really great way of kind of seeing these networks of different people and finding people you wouldn't have come across otherwise. And within maybe 10 minutes so I found, you know, maybe 10 or 12 new people on Twitter that are really great people to follow that I'd never come across before. So check that out. It's about $1.99, so you know, whatever that is in whatever currency you you buy apps in. Very good value anyway. The request is I'm looking for something really easy that will allow users to change their passwords across the whole of the IBM stack via a web browser. So if anybody can come up with something there that basically from within Connections or quicker or in the same time allows them to very quickly and easily change their password in the Domino directory, I'd be really interested in a solution there. I know there's some stuff from Pistol Star and other ISVs, but if anybody's got any suggestions there, tweet them to me at Stuart McIntyre. I'd love to hear from you. Perhaps Darren and Handy know one. I don't know. But anyway, if anybody can come up with something, let me know.
Pistol Star's the one I was going to say.
Okay. Fantastic. So we'll have a closer look at that. So let's go around the table and just find out how people can get hold of you if they want to follow up. Darren, kick us off.
Darren Duke, all one word for my 140 character rants about a whole host of things, like my 6,000th tweet. Well, the US election, but that's over now. And, well, the world didn't end. Shocker. And what else? Oh, the fact that notes can't use pack files, which is atrocious. Fix it, people.
Ooh, I didn't know that. And your last blog post, September the 11th.
Oh, yeah. I did a couple that month, didn't I? It's they're like number three buses. you wait 6 months.
At the beginning of the podcast, man, I think.
Well, but notice, I didn't bring up my blog. But okay, now that he has, I'll go ahead and do it. blog.downduke.net for things technically related to Lotus, Node, Domino, Traveller, Quicker, blah, 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 blah.
Awesome. Thank you, Darren. And Hanley?
So I'm Hanley on Twitter, and also Hanley.org for my blog. It's been a little bit slow, but as I mentioned, there's some big technology updates coming in WorkLite. So I have a whole series of sort of best practices on deck as soon as I've confirmed that they work in the new version or highlighting new features that you can get to.
Fantastic. Thank you, Hanley. And thank you so much for taking part in the podcast. Really appreciate having you on. And I hope you actually get selected. And Sharon, how do people find you?
I am Social Shazza on Twitter, and my blog, which is very lacking because I've been far too busy, keeping me way too busy to be blogging, is socialshazza.com for most things web theory, connections-y, other technology-based, and occasional Disney posts.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Sharon. And we will be looking again, Sharon and I, at the Connections blog. So just to forewarn you, there's likely to be some kind of resurgence in the Connections blog in the next month or so. So just to get you interested in that again too. I am Stuart McIntyre. You can find me on Twitter at Stuart McIntyre and at the blog, which is stuart-mcintyre.com. So thank you all for taking part in this podcast. Thank you, listeners, for staying with us. I'm sorry it's been so long since the last one. I hope we'll get back into some kind of routine as we head towards Connect. So look out for updates on iTunes and the website and everywhere else. And we love your comments. So please do tweet us at This Week in Lotus or leave a comment on the blog as well. So until next week, this was This Week in Lotus. Bye.
All opinions expressed during this podcast are those of the participants only and do not necessarily represent those of their employer.